Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You are watching, I'm Diane Van Wy, you're watching our Yehuda Messianic Jewish Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And we welcome you who are watching, and we need your prayer because we started off this new year with a computer issue. So please be in prayer to pray against the enemy who's attacking our sermon and services all the time. And if we could bow our heads right now.
Yes.
And pray with me.
Yes, Father.
Father God, we lift up our service to you.
Yes.
As we observe and come together as one body to unite and observe a Shabbat that you allowed us.
Yes, Father.
And gave us privilege and choice to observe. We came here this morning to worship you and to lift you up. That was our only sole purpose of all of us getting up today.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And Brother Anthony Cody has prepared a sermon for us today, a word from the Lord. And we appreciate him doing that, and he's going to bring forth that word because we're going to stamp out the enemy off of this service in the name of Yeshua.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord. And Father God, we just ask you to remove Diane of Diane and refill her up. Fill me up with you, Father God. Yeshua, drop down your wonderful love and grace and peace and mercy on top of all of us today. Bless each of us that have come out in this weather to worship you in the middle of a pandemic in 2021. And we just thank you, Lord, for each of us lifting us up and touching us, preventing us from getting sick. And we thank you, Lord, Father God. And we just lift up our brother and sister, pastors Ed and Kathy Bowers. We lift them up, Lord, right now in the name of Yeshua. You know why, Father God, and other people, and Fred and Martha Middleton, if you're watching, I love you. You've been on my heart this morning and yesterday. I don't know what's going on, Lord, but I lift you up too. And I hope to see your wonderful, beautiful faces come grace our services soon. You are on my hearts. And Buzz and Linda, we love you dearly out in Florida. You are on my hearts this morning as well. You're very precious to all of us here, this family, our mishpacha here at Ari Yehuda. And Rabbi, our dear lovely Rabbi, and Rabbitz and Dawn Bell are taking a respite, a very needed respite of all the things that have been happening to our wonderful Rabbi. We just lift him up right now with his health, his back, his just all the ailments that are going on in his body. Touch him right now,
Make
Lord, right
whole.
Where he's at in the name of Yeshua.
Make him whole.
He has taught me so many years with his leadership, Lord, in Miss Dawn and Rabbitz and Dawn, to pray hard and through and press in against the attack of the enemy, and that's what I'm doing right now. So I ask you and implore you and encourage you to stay strong in any type of situation that's going on in your life. And against anything that's part of your life, which I know we are. Our Yehuda is part of each of your lives, so those of you who are watching. So I love you dearly, all of you who are watching. We lift you up and all your donations that you keep us going strong. I thank you, Lord, for all the donors out there. We lift each and every one of you up, the prayer warriors. I know that you are many out there that Rabbi has lifted you guys up through prayer. We would like to, I'm calling forth once again, that we can all come together every Wednesday to pray, because I miss that. I miss praying in person, Lord, with my fellow brethren here at Ari Yehuda, for all of you out there. And we just lift each and every one of you up in the name of Yeshua. We're going to have a different service today. We've got lovely sister Carolyn Chapman on the keyboard live, and she's been blessing us with some praise and worship that she knows in her heart that's coming out, that's been blessed by the Lord. So thank you, Sister Carolyn. We do not have any sound right now or anything, video or media. So I've been doing this, I think, long enough to know the liturgy a little bit. We are way past our time, so we do apologize regarding that situation. But Brother Anthony, we'll just do a little bit of we'll do a Shabbat Shalom. We got to have Shabbat Shalom. So we'll do a Shabbat Shalom and a cappella and some other the blessing of the Messiah. We'll do Shabbat Shalom, blessing of the Messiah. We're going to pray for Jerusalem. We're going to ask Sister Sharon, if that's okay, if you pray, say a word, we'll give you a microphone, and pray for Jerusalem.
Yes.
Do a servant of the Lord. It's important, no matter what time it is, that the service must go on.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord. And the Shema, we'll do that, and then maybe we'll do a little table of the Lord, the Shulchan Adonai. So get your juice and bread ready. And then, let's see. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And then the message from Brother Anthony. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Hallelujah. And I don't have my tambourine.
Shabbat Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise you, Lord. The blessing of the Messiah, Anthony.
Brukatada and I will hang you melaka olam, asher natan, elak, the direct, ha Yeshua, ming Mashiach, Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pray for Jerusalem.
Okay.
Hallelujah. You got one? Okay. Thank you, Sharon. Go ahead. Okay. Thank you, Sharon.
Adonai, we come to you today thanking you for all the blessings that you've given us, thanking you for the mercy that you've given our city, that we have as few in COVID as we do. And we pray now for Jerusalem. We ask that you protect it, that you put your shawl of protection, your prayer shawl of protection over Jerusalem. We pray for the people there that you will give them the strength and courage to go forward as they do. And we ask that you protect them from the missiles that are being shot in their direction. We pray that you will have them blow up on the where they're shot off. We pray that they will go into the fields and into the ocean, that you will protect Jerusalem. And we pray for your soon return. We ask that you watch over each congregation that's meeting there today, and that you touch those Messianic rabbis especially, and that you give them the message that they need to strengthen Jerusalem. We pray for the services, the military services that are watching over Israel and over Jerusalem, and we pray for each person who's there, that you will guide them in the path that you would have them walk, and that you would give them the message this Shabbat, that you would have them know and follow this week. For we ask it in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Servant of the Lord.
Servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The Shema.
Stand for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Malhuto Leom Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We want to do the table.
Table of the Lord.
Okay. Everybody have one of the little cups. You got one, Diane?
I've got one right here.
Diane, here's yours. I'll go get me. I'll put mine back over there. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Earl got one. Okay.
The bees of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Okay. There's a way to get these out. I chewed the first time I got one of them. I chewed it open because I couldn't figure out how to get it open. It wouldn't come apart. So I bit into it. I guess it works. Okay, let me go ahead and bless the Shulchan Adonai. Brukatadana Elohein, Yumelaka Olam, Borei Peri Hagafin. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua is the true fruit of the vine. He took the bread and he broke it and he prayed. Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, Yumelech haolam, Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua is the bread of life. Amen. And we can partake.
L'chaim.
Hopefully, it won't be long. We can go back the old way. We already get some matzah. That'll make it a lot easier. But that's worked. It served its purpose. So. Okay. So now I'm going to do the message, right? Okay.
Let me get.
Okay.
Anthony, or
what?
Do you want to call yourself up or no?
No, I'm not. We'll just have the message.
We're just going to go straight to the message.
Just straight to the message.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister.
God is teaching us new things. We have to improvise. So it's worked out. It's working out. So okay. Okay, today's Torah portion, Vayikai, I guess the way you pronounce it. It's from Genesis 47 through 50. And today is the last parsha in this in the book of Bereshit as we're moving into the next book next week. And it's talking about Jacob, and it says, and he lived. It's addressing the fact that Jacob, it's talking about the last 17 years of his life, and it says that he wasn't sojourning in Egypt, but he was living in Egypt. And I think the last 17 years portray the 17 years that he lived with his son Joseph before he was taken into captivity and ended up in Egypt. So he ended up, he died at 147 years old. So Jacob lived the last of the patriarchs, and it's also the last parsha. And also, if you read this parsha today, you'll know that Joseph also passed away, and he was the first of the 12 tribes, the sons of the 12 tribes who passed away. Joseph was the first one. If you read today, this Jacob is telling his family about the events that God has given to him, but he stops and God sort of shuts his eyes and his ears, and he's not allowed to continue on telling about that, because I don't think the family, the brothers, were actually equipped or maybe ready or prepared to receive what God was going to give to Jacob to tell them. But we see his eyes and ears were closed, and we see that at the death of Joseph, we see that the Egyptian oppression begins to start, and they begin to be taken into captivity as we go into the book of Exodus. Shemot, we'll see how that slavery begins and starts there in in Egypt. But while Joseph is still living, they take Jacob back to Israel and bury him, and they all go back to the land of Egypt and live there. So it's interesting to note that they didn't stay, they went back. And Joseph, of course, as I said, Jacob was stopped, and he telling about the future of things that God was going to share with them. But Jacob asked Joseph to bring his two sons, and since he had been living in the land of Egypt, he had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And what Joseph is doing is taking them to his father Jacob to bless them, and while he's going to bless them, he is going to bestow upon them the fact that they are he's adopting them into his family as the sons. And he's sort of replacing, I think, it was Reuben and Simeon who had sort of sinned, and God didn't like that, and neither did Jacob. So he was sort of telling his two sons, the older two sons, that I'm going to adopt these two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they will become heirs also into the destiny of Israel. And if you read the scripture, you know he took them between his knees, and that was a way of saying that I am adopting these two young men into my family. And he begins to bless them, and what he does, he puts, normally the right hand would go on the oldest son, which was Manasseh, but he crosses his hands and he puts the right hand on Ephraim, and he puts his left hand on Manasseh. And Joseph is trying to correct him, but his father won't let him do that, so he blesses Ephraim as the firstborn. And he is what's called a Yaked, which means he is not the firstborn son, but he is the firstborn son that gets the double portion. So he received the double portion. And if we read on, we'll find that, you know, not only that, but he came one of the, his name means nation. It is a multitude of nations because it is called Milo Goyim, which means it is a multitude of nations that he actually came from him, that he fathered or whatever into the tribes of Israel. And so he is a Yaked, which means he was not the firstborn. And you know, Yeshua, Yeshua came from Judah, not the tribe of Joseph. He came from the tribe of Judah. And from Judah, we find that last week we're talking about, the week before last, I guess it was Tamar and the twins, Perez and Zerah, both were sons. And of course, there again, we see the second born actually received the double portion, which was Perez. And these two sons were actually the order of Melchizedek, because that's where Tamar had come from, was her family. She was actually a priestess, and her family were from that group of Melchizedek, that we know later on that is like Yeshua. You know, with the just a few minutes about the tribes. You know, when you look at the tribes, there was 12, and then there was 13 with the two brothers, Manasseh and Ephraim, that became part of that family. And but you know, but later on in history, the tribes they split up, and they had the northern tribes and the other tribes. And if you read the scripture about the two sticks, it tells us that Judah and a companion was one stick, and Ephraim and his companions was the other stick. So it tells us, did anybody know who the other stick was that was with Judah? It was one of the tribes. It would have been Benjamin was the one that stayed, and they followed the Torah. The other 10 tribes went north, and they followed other gods, and they actually, I was reading a little bit about them, and they, you know, they traveled north up into Ireland and England and Scotland, all up through there. And if you look, I was looking at some of the crests of some of these families that are from like Scotland and Ireland, and if you look at them, you'll see a lot of the Hebrew tribes are in their crests. I guess that's what they're called, their crests. And you'll see a lot of the Jewish things from the tribes are part of those crests. And it's interesting to note that you see a lot of the lines, like the line, like this one here, is the seal of Jerusalem. But if you look at it, it has two stalks of olive branches there that represent the two sticks that we just talked about that are going to come together and form the Israel. And so you can see that even in this representation here, you see the tribe of Judah and then the two sticks that are going to be, Yeshua is going to put them together and they'll all be as one. But the northern tribes were, and actually when you look at all the tribes of Israel, they have literally scattered around the entire world. I don't know if there's a nation or a country in the world that doesn't have Jewish people in it, because God said he would scatter them from the east to the west. Anytime in the scripture you see a direction, that is from Jerusalem. All directions come from Jerusalem. That's the holy city, and that's where the directions God gives is from Jerusalem out to east, west, wherever it may be. But that is the point. The center point is the city of Jerusalem. So it's interesting to know that. You know, when I was reading too, and Great Britain had a lot of impact on Israel becoming a nation. And of course, President Truman made the final vote that made Israel a nation in the United Nations, recognized them. But if you look back at Great Britain, they had quite an impact, because there was a lot of Jewish people that had migrated to these areas of England and Scotland and through there. And if you look in, if you go back historically and look, and I was looking back around 1947, 1948, the time Israel was becoming a nation, Great Britain went on a course without a war. It was after World War II, but they were releasing other nations that they had that were colonies of them. They were releasing them to be their own governments. And one of those was like India, was a nation that was controlled by India, and they gave India back their rights to be their own governing body, to be their own country. Not only that, all the British Isles were given back to those nations. And even down in Africa, the country of Kenya, just one of them, I just mentioned a few, the country of Kenya was also given its right of to be their own governing body and no longer under the control of Great Britain. But if you look back about this time, Great Britain around the turn of that century was a very large and powerful nation. But after Israel became a nation and all these countries, they started giving up these countries. If you look at the dominion of the Commonwealth of Britain today, you'll find that it's a very small portion of what they were back around 1900 when they started pushing people out of Israel. So God has moved those, given them the ability to get rights back to all these countries. And that happened actually 47 to 48. And you can look back. But if you see a lot of these crests, you'll see a lot of red lines and gold lines and just, there's different things. But if you look at them and study from the Hebrew side of the tribes, you'll see that a lot of these crests have various tribes that, and I'm assuming that with these crests, a lot of these tribes maybe became into that one family, and that's the reason you've got the different announcements of the of Israel as far as the various tribes that are there. And that, of course, I mentioned about the two stacks also, but you know they were scattered everywhere, and and one of the things that I read in Deuteronomy chapter 20 is telling us, you know, that God scattered them from the east to the west and from one direction to another. And he told them, he said, you will worship gods made of wood and of stone. And he says, you will be worshiping gods that you have not known before. These are like new gods that you're going to be worshiping in wood and stone. And if you know, I've studied a lot about Islam, and that's one of the things that if you are a Muslim or and follow Islam, one of the things they want you to do is to travel to Mecca and a pilgrimage, I guess what they would call it. And while you're at Mecca, they kiss a stone that is there, the stone of Mecca. It's a religious thing to them. But there again, God is saying, you will worship gods of wood and of stone. And so they worship this stone. I don't remember exactly now how the stone came about, if it was, it's something in their religion. But also, if you look back at the gods of wood, you'll find that the Christian cross that was something that the Catholic Church used to tell about the symbol. I guess it was a symbol of Yeshua, Jesus, as far as his death on the cross. But again, that has become a piece of wood that people actually worship, and a lot of people right around the neck. And it, I mean, it's very attractive, but there again, God is saying you will worship gods of wood and you worship gods of stone. And he tells us even in the second commandment that we are not to make any graven image whatsoever. And he says, you know, if it's something pagan, you are to tear down their temples and their places of worship. They're completely be destroyed. So he's telling us even in the second commandment that we are not to make images of rock, stone, whatever. That's why the altars could not be hewn from any type of material. They had to just take the stones as they found them and make an altar that way. They were not to be manufactured or created in any shape, form, or fashion. And this is actually what is sort of one of the starters of the replacement theology that we have, as so many of these other things have come into play, that we are pushing God's people out of the limelight as far as they are the chosen ones of God, and we're putting other things in their place to replace them, to become, because they don't think Israel is a nation anymore. But Israel is a nation, has been since 1948, and as I pray, I think Israel will always be there. God will never let anyone destroy Israel. A lot of people say, well, they're going to be destroyed by the atomic bomb, but I don't think Israel will ever be destroyed as long as God is on the throne, and he's going to be on the throne forever. He's not going to move at all. But, you know, another thing with the worshiping thing, but with the 13 tribes, that's something that after the split and we had the 13, you'll see that that's become sort of an occult thing. Even with the number 13, a lot of people think that's unlucky. They don't want something that says 13. But really, when you look at it, God, the number 13, God bless, is actually in Hebrew, the number 13 means one. It means one. That's unusual that it's one, but God has blessed that number 13 because that is his tribes. And a lot of people say, well, we don't know where they're at, but I rest assured God knows exactly where every tribe is at. He hasn't lost track at all. He knows exactly where the people of Israel are at, and they're around the world. They're all over the world, but he knows where each and every tribe is at, and he knows where they're at. And so God has blessed that. You know, and in Genesis we see that the blessings in chapter 49, if you can read that later on, you might want to, it gives us the blessings of the tribes, and you'll find that they have banners and they have stones, and then they receive blessings. And I'm just going to cover the blessings, not to take up a lot of time this morning, being we sort of stranded with the computer stuff here. But you know, the banners were important. Every tribe had its own banner, and every tribe was given a blessing by Jacob. He blessed each and every one of them. And, you know, with the first one I got here is Levi, and he blessed them that they would be priests, and they would serve in God's temple, and they would serve in the house of God. They would be part of that. That was their gift, was that they were an inheritance to the land of Israel, but they didn't actually inherit any of the land, because God's dominion as far as his temple and the services of God was what they were blessed with. Issachar, they were scholars. Zebulun were seafarers. Simeon was teachers. Gad were soldiers. Dan were judges, and that's where all the judges came from. Naphtali was blessed with swiftness. Ben was ferocious. Joseph was blessed with beauty. Asher was the one that was given the olive growing. Judah was the kingship, the kinship was also the scepter of Shiloh, would never depart from the tribe of Judah. And then, of course, Reuben, who was cursed by his father, he would not increase in the numbers in Judah. I'm sorry, Reuben was one of the smaller tribes because God did not bless them with growth of children. And so that was God. That was from Jacob. I'm sorry, let me go back over here. From Jacob back to his children. And, of course, Ephraim and Manasseh, they shared the birthright of Joseph and the inheritance. And, of course, I mentioned that, you know, they were blessed. And Ephraim, he's the one that was the Milad Goyim that was blessed with all of the various nations, come from the tribe of Ephraim. And so that was where Jesus or Yeshua has a banner also. If you read in Genesis 49 verse 12, you'll see that the camp of Yeshua, the first time that Yeshua came, he was very humble, and he rode upon a donkey of his humbleness. And then in Revelation 19, you'll see that he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his vesture is dipped in blood. And in Isaiah 11, chapter verses 12 and 13, it tells us that Yeshua is the beacon bearer of God. He bears three things that God has got him to do and instruct him to do, and that is return the Jewish people from exile from around the world. He will rebuild that final temple of God, and that he will reign as king and priest. That's what, and so Yeshua has a banner also, and his banner is the bearer of the shield of God, or the flag of God, maybe is what I should say, or the shield of God. In Daniel 12, chapter 12, verse 2, it tells us that life is eternal, and that was the last time that the book of life was open, is in the book of Daniel. He's the last person to see actually the book of life being open. And it says the book of life contains eternal life, and also there's a book that contains people that are condemned that never repent or see. And see, that is the second death, and that's the death that a lot of people are going to bear because of the second resurrection. The first this other resurrection will be a resurrection unto life, but the second resurrection is life, that their life will be turned to death because they're going to die the eternal damnation of hell and Hades. It's to death, and it's happening at the end of time. And it's taking the mark of the beast. I know a lot of times I often wonder if the beast is actually in the world today. I know a lot of people thinking, well, with the things that are going on, it's probably he's out there, but I really don't know. I don't know how much longer time will go. It could go another century. I don't know. What we need to do is continue to pray and seek God's guidance in our lives. But I think what it's telling me, just to close this morning, that these people that are in this second resurrection that are taking the mark of the beast, it's a mindset that they have, and you can sort of see that mindset today. It's a mindset of carnality. They do not want to acknowledge that God is God, and this is what's leading them to and to us as far as what is Gog and Magog, which will be the end of time, the final battle. And that you can see it's sort of forming now as things are going. There's a lot of things in the world today. I know this past year, just to close just for a moment, you know, this past year God has really, it's been a different year. I don't think the years I've been alive I've seen anything like this past year with all of the political unrest and just the social unrest and the uprooting of the school systems and just everything, even where people work. I've had to go and start working from home, and I think others have. But it's just this COVID-19 it's changed the whole world. It's changed where we go. It's changed how we do things. You know, we have to wear these masks around our face, and people still don't wear them. But until we do what we need to do, which is to sanitize ourselves and to clear up and cover our faces, it's never going to go away. And you know, if you go to some of the stores, you walk in and half the people are walking around coughing and sneezing, and they don't have the masks on, and they're not sanitizing their hands when they go in or when they're leaving because they're handling the products, and you don't know where they've been and who's handling them. And it's just it's like COVID suicide is what it is. And I've lost a couple of good friends this year that died from COVID-19. A lot of you have been impacted. So it's just been a most unusual year. And I think God is just telling us, you know, the worst, you know, this is not the end. This is not the end, what we're seeing today, because we know that the Antichrist is coming, and you can just see things moving in that direction. How long it will be, I do not know. I don't think I would want to know, because that would be be a little scary, I think, to know that the end of time is going to be like this date on this date. But it's changed. Really, it's just to mention it for a moment, it's really changed everything we do, how we act, how we think, where we go, what we do. It's just impacted the whole world. It's amazing that something like that COVID-19 could impact the entire world like it has. I know we see things in different countries, nations that where they're impacted, but the whole world, literally from east to west, north to south, has been impacted by this COVID-19, and it doesn't look like it's going to go away anytime soon. And even I saw on the news last night, I was watching some news channel, and they were talking about this new strain of COVID-19 that they found in England, and they found some people in the United States that have this new strain that's coming out. So I don't know if this vaccine's going to take care of that or not, but it's something to think about. And we're starting the whole new year. We've had computer problems, and maybe they have a virus in them. I hope not. I hope it's all solved and ready to go. But I just want to close this morning with just some words from Yeshua that I hope will encourage us this morning. I know everything is dismal and it can be disheartening, but here's some words from Yeshua. He says, "Say unto them that believe in him, if you abide in my words and you are truly my disciple, you will know the truth, and the truth will set and make you free." If you know what the truth is, then you don't have to worry about tomorrow or what's going to happen. You can worship him, and you know where you're going to end up. And they asked Yeshua, they said, "We're from Abraham and have never been enslaved. How is it that you will make us free?" And Yeshua said to them, "Truly, surely, I say unto you, and whosoever committeth a sin is a slave, because sin is slavery. But the slave does not remain in the house forever. Only the sons and daughters of God will remain in the house of God. If you're sin, the sinners will not remain in the house of God." Philippians 4:6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be known to God." That's something we need to practice every day, to not worry about the things, but to pray to God and to seek his guidance and directions. And Matthew 6:24 is the last verse. It says, "If you are anxious, can you add a single hour to your life?" You know, the more troubled and worried we get, we can't increase our life. Actually, it says one hour, but really you can't add a second to your life, no matter how much you worry about it. Because I did a little study, you read some things about that years ago, and most of us that worry about things, probably 95% of the things that it's impossible for us to change, and it's things that have already happened that we can't change now because it's already past, things that are in the past. So I think that's what God is calling us this year, to be more diligent about his word, the study of his word, to pray more, to seek more, and to try to get people to believe in, to accept Yeshua as the Messiah. That's the big thing, is to get family members and other neighbors and friends, people you work with, people you know, to accept him, because the days are getting dark, and it's getting darker every day as we go. But as the scripture says, darkness is, you know, the joy comes in the morning. So we're all looking this morning for a joy that will come in the morning, and that will be Yeshua when he returns with the host of heaven, and we shall live with him forever, and we'll never die. That's the greatest thing about heaven, is the fact you'll never, other than Yeshua being there, that you'll never die. There'll never be no sickness. There'll never be no death. There'll never be no parting of the people. We'll always be with him forever. And that's the blessing of eternal life, is through him, Yeshua. So this morning, if you will stand, I will go ahead and we'll conclude the service, and I'll pray the blessing over you this morning. They already took it back there, yeah. We did that before we got started. We went ahead and did the offering, and I'll take it in down there. And God spoke to Moses, and he said, "This is how you will bless my people when they come, and you will instruct Aaron and his sons throughout history that they will continue to bless the people of Israel. And it's a great blessing of what God has given to us today, this blessing. It's prayed every Shabbat, and it's important because it blesses you, and it gets your day, starts your Shabbat day forward into the next week. Yivakar Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yahu Adonai panav alecha v'kunika. Isa Adonai panav alecha v'yasim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. Shabbat shalom, and I hope you all have a blessed day and a blessed week, and stay healthy. And we pray this computer will be healthy. We'll get healthy.